as I was praying, one of the things that I've been really aware of, and maybe you have too, is that we're living in rapidly changing times. Would you agree? Anybody who agrees, just put up your hand. It's okay. Yeah, we're living in rapidly changing times. You know, if we just have to look back 5 years ago. Do you remember what happened 5 years ago? What happened 5 years ago? I know we don't like to think about it, but what happened 5 years ago? The COVID pandemic was just beginning, right? Was just beginning. And we can remember how we lived through a time where we witnessed some very dramatic changes in almost every area of our life. You remember that? It was a time of very rapid change, from the way we interacted with our families and friends, to the way we shopped for our groceries, to the way that we experienced church. You know, church was online. And then children, youth, young adults, they all went to school virtually, online. Even funerals and weddings were online. You know, Carolyn and I got married in May of 2020. And, you know, 5 years ago. And at our wedding, we had five people. Carolyn and I, the pastor, and two witnesses, another pastor and his wife. That was it. And we tried to live stream it for all of our friends and family. It was a time of tremendous change. When we look back, it's hard to imagine that within 1 year of the start of the pandemic, we would see governments from all stripes, not, you know, didn't matter what political background you were in, but governments of all stripes were imposing lockdowns, were closing businesses, posting armed police around churches in some places, restricting travel, imposing curfews, and spending hundreds of billions of dollars to prop up businesses, individuals, and to fund mass vaccination programs. All of those things happened within a one-year period of time. You know, it's staggering when we think or consider the extent to which things changed so rapidly, so rapidly. But they did. Those are the facts. It's the what so. But now, over the past 3 years, post-pandemic, some things have begun to return to a new normal. Wouldn't you agree? Things have seemed to return to some semblance of normalcy. However, you know, the new normal that we are experiencing now doesn't really look, and it doesn't really feel like the way it used to be. You know, we're seeing more and more homeless people around. And we've even had some experience of that this last week or two here at the back of the church, where, you know, we have a little tent here for storage for the school and that meets here. And one morning when they opened up the tent, there was a homeless person getting shelter out of the storm. So, you know, this the new normal doesn't feel like it used to be. And we're not only seeing more homelessness, but we're seeing many more families finding it very, very difficult to make ends meet. Even though they're working really hard and trying their best to provide for their families, it's getting harder and harder economically. You know, there is this growing economic uncertainty in the world today. And not only that, but it seems that all these things are being fueled by a very volatile political climate that is engulfing the world. It seems like a climate of uncertainty and fear is pervading or invading our world around us. Would you agree? There's a lot of fear in the world today. You know, as individuals, Christians, and as a church community, we've been watching this. We've been waiting. We've been observing all these changes. We've been forming our thoughts and our personal opinions. We've been keeping our heads down, being safe, looking after our own health and well-being, and trying to encourage others to be strong and courageous in the face of these changing times, the unknown things that are ahead. You know, that's what we've been trying to do. And now, you know, we're coming to the end of a very polarizing election in our country. And, you know, tomorrow is, we all know that tomorrow is election day, and many of us wear different jerseys, you know, political jerseys. Some of us, I'm not assuming that everybody here is on the same page politically, but you know, no matter what jersey you wear for your political party, you know, I'm sure you would agree that, you know, after tomorrow, all of these uncertainties, all of these fears, all these things are not just going to magically go away. They're going to still be there, no matter who is leading the government of Canada going forward. And you know, we're living in this time of tremendous uncertainty and fear about what the future is going to bring. And have you stopped to really think of why? Why are we so afraid and fearful? Why are we so uncertain about what is ahead? What is the underlying factors? What are the underlying factors? What are the things that cause us to continue to feel so uncertain and so fearful about the future? What is it? What is behind all of these feelings of uncertainty? Well, for some time now, I felt in my spirit that we needed to shift gears for a little bit of time to begin to address some of these things from the scriptures. I know we've been in the study of the book of John for quite a little while, and we're going to get back to it, you know, in short order, but we're going to take a few weeks now, probably about 8 weeks, to go into a brief series now on standing strong in changing times. Okay? Standing strong in the changing times. And so today we're starting this series, and we're going to anchor this series starting next week in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. And we're gonna start to look at the nature of the battle that we're all in right now, that's engaging all of us. And we're also going to look at all the resources that God himself has given to us to be able to stand strong in the Lord as we face the uncertainty of the road that's ahead for us. That's where we're gonna get to. But we needed to have this message today, this time today, to kind of set us up to understand, you know, that even in changing times, there is an unchanging message from God. There's an unchanging God that we can put our hope and our trust and our confidence in, and that he has provided us all of these resources. You know, the uncertainties that we're facing today in these rapidly changing times are not unlike the uncertainty that Joshua and the people of Israel felt after the death of Moses, as they were instructed by God to keep moving into the land that he had promised them. You know, they were returning from Egypt to the promised land. They were returning at a time where God had said, you know, it's time for you to go back and take possession of the land. It's time for you to be where I desire you to be, in that land. But now, after 40 years of traveling through the desert under the leadership of Moses, Moses had just died. And now they had a new leader, and the new leader was going to take them into the land, and that leader was Joshua. And so, you know, the times, they were changing. But as we see in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, in changing times, we can rely on a God who is unchanging in his nature and his truth. And so let me read for you this passage from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. For as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them.'" And in these verses we just read, there are some very personal and precious promises that God has given to, God gave to Joshua as the people of Israel were about to go into this unknown land. In these verses, God reaffirms his original promises that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob long before Moses, the promise he gave to Moses to lead the people into the promised land. His promise of the land and territory they had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was now going to be fulfilled. They were, as a people, they were going to take over this land that God had promised to them. The promise was now being affirmed to the people of Israel. They were going to go in and possess the land that was their inheritance. You know, it's interesting today. You know, we look back at that and we know that they did go in and conquer the land, and God raised up the kingdom of Israel and Judah, and then, you know, as after that kingdom had been risen up for many, many years, God took again the people into exile and then brought them back, and then they were dispersed around the world as well. But then in 1947, God brought the people of Israel back to the land. And it's interesting that the land that God promised to the people of Israel are still being disputed today, as we've witnessed over the last year and a half after the events that took place October 7th, 2024 in Gaza between modern-day Israel and Hamas, and the ongoing war that's been going on there over this last year and a half. You know, it's interesting that the intolerant attitudes toward Israel has been growing worldwide since the establishment of the Jewish state in 1947. And all this, you know, we look at this and we just go, what's happening in the world around Israel and everything? Why is this all happening? Well, it's all part of the changing of the times. It's all part of the steady march towards the end times events. If you're a student of the book of Revelation, you'll know that, you know, there is going to be a time in the future when a reconstituted Israel will be at the center of a world conflict that is going to come. We understand that. We know that. So like when we look at this, you know, the promise that God made back to Joshua to bring them into the land, the promise of this territory that they would have, you know, even today, you know, God is working out his plans, his promises. We can see that. We don't understand why all these things are happening the way they are, but it's part of the changing times that we're in. Everything is moving towards God's appointed end. Always keep that in mind. Keep that 30,000-foot view. You know, when we look at world events that are taking place right now around the land of Israel, the people of Israel, understand that, you know, this is all part of a bigger picture that's going on. And then, you know, so God had promised, made some very precious promises about land to the people of Israel, and he's fulfilled them, and he's been with them all these years since that promise was made to Joshua. And not only that, but God made a promise, another promise that God made to his people and to Joshua was that their new leader, he was reassuring them that as he was with Moses, so he would be with them. And he would never leave them nor forsake them. And no one would be able to stand against them. No one would be able to stand against the purposes for which God had planned and purposed in his heart. No one would be able to stand. And so these are the promises that God made to Joshua. You know, another promise that God made to his people was that, and to Joshua, was that their leader he would be with him as he was with Moses. And so how was he with Moses? In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, as Moses spoke his final word to his successor Joshua, he reminded him to be strong and courageous, not to be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God, he says, will go with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Now it's important for us to remember the promises that God has made to those who seek to follow him, those who are leaders. You know, this is a word to a leader in a time of change. You know, if you're a leader in the church here, and if you're a leader in the community, or if you're a leader in your family, remember this. God has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, time and time again in the Old and New Testament, God speaks to his people, reminding us that no matter what the circumstances, his presence, his strength, and his peace are with us. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus, as he was preparing to depart this world, spoke these words to his disciples. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Believe in me, trust in me. And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, where he's leaving the disciples with that great commission. You know, here it was an unknown territory they were going to be going into, because Jesus was now, had died. He was raised from the dead. He was about to ascend back into heaven, and he was about to leave them on their own. And he said to them, don't let your hearts be troubled. And then he gave them this commission. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then he says these words, and surely I am with you always, till I go up into heaven. No. Surely I am with you always to the end of the age. To the end of the age. What does that mean? Till the end, till I come, I am with you. Till I come again, till all things are brought to their completion, I am with you. So just as Joshua and the people of Israel and the disciples were encouraged to keep their focus on God's abiding presence as they entered into the new territory where God was leading them, we also can find comfort in the truth that God has promised to be with us as we journey through these challenging and changing times we're going through today. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9, the Apostle Paul gives us a reminder that we are to keep our focus clearly on God's presence in our lives. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. For whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, this word of encouragement from the Apostle Paul, given to him by the Holy Spirit, spoken out to us, which has now become the word of God to us in the scriptures, it's a reminder to us of where we're to keep our focus in any circumstances and every situation that we find ourselves in. Even in the midst of these changing and uncertain times, we can be anxious about nothing. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't need a lot of Zantac, wouldn't need a lot of Pantelock, wouldn't need a lot of all these other medications that people take because they got nervous stomachs and you know, all the stress that we're under because of all the changes and all that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and what? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our hearts and minds focused on the presence of Jesus in our lives makes a difference, makes a huge, huge difference. You know, in these challenging times and changing times, we can rely on God's unchanging presence and peace. And also in these changing times, we can also rely on God's promises, his promises to provide for us clear direction and guidance in the way that we are to engage with the sometimes hostile world around us. You know, we're not without resources. We're not without resources. You know, we have God's word, his unchanging word to us. And this is what God reminded Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. He said, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Did you catch what the secret was to the success that God promised the people of Israel as they were going into the land? What would make them successful in God's eyes? It wasn't having a big bank account, wasn't having, you know, doing all the right things for the wrong reasons. No, it was that they were, pardon? And keep your eyes where? And your ears where? On the word of God, on his word. Hide God's word in your hearts, he said. Hide them in God's law in your hearts. Have it on your lips. Meditate it on day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written, and then you will be prosperous and successful. You know, sometimes we wonder, do we have a guidebook for these troubled and changing times? What is our guidebook? Well, we do. We have God's word. We have God's word, the scriptures. The secret to Joshua's success as a leader and for Israel as a nation was to remain firmly rooted on the foundation of the word of God as they engaged those who opposed them in the land. In Psalm 119, there's an extraordinary song. It's psalm. It is a beautiful psalm. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. Like it's right, and actually, if you do a check on where Psalm 119 falls, it falls bang, smack in the middle of the whole Bible. Just happens to work that way. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. But it is a beautifully written prayer regarding the centrality of God's word in our lives and how practicing the word of God can, and the study of the word of God, the meditation on the word of God transforms our whole way of being in the world. And so let me just read a couple of examples for you from Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. Listen and allow the word of God, allow this psalm to instruct us in where our resources are to be found. He says, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life." And then again, in verses 45 to 52, I'm just taking a sampling. You can go to each and every section of this psalm, and you can just hear the psalmist, because every single verse has a reference to God's word in it. And a practical reference of how to to utilize this resource in our life and to experience from God his blessing from having interacted with his word. Here's another example. He says, I call with all my heart, answer me, Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you establish them to last forever. Now, the unchanging nature of God's word. It is an eternal resource for us as God's people in these very difficult and challenging times that we're living in. You know, the Apostle Paul, writing to his prodigy Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verses 15, and then in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, reminds us that God's word is still today to be our source of wisdom and guidance and understanding today. Paul says to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. For all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, being grounded in God's word, according to the Apostle Paul, provides us with the solid foundation upon which we can chart our course, plan our steps, and even do so in challenging and changing times. Because God's word is unchanging. And as Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. You know, this is the truth upon which we can stand. You know, we sang that song, standing on the promises of God my King, through eternal ages, let his praises, standing on the promises of God. And the promises of God come to us through his living word. And Joshua understood the importance of meditating on God's word, hiding it in his heart so that he could stay in tune with God's spirit as he led the people into the dangerous land that was in front of them. And with his trust in God's presence and God's word to guide them, he was confident that God's empowering presence and protection would surround them. He had confidence in what God had commanded to him. And this was the command that God gave to him in Joshua chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so what did Joshua do in response? He said, okay, well, that land looks pretty daunting. You know, that river that we got to cross, oh, I don't know if we can do that. Maybe I got to think about this for a little while, God. No. What Joshua did was this. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, tell your people, get your provisions ready. Get your provisions ready. For 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God, the Lord your God, is giving you for your own. He said, get ready. Get ready. Get all your provisions ready. Get all those things that you need for this journey as we cross this river, because we're going into this uncharted land, this hostile land. We're going in and God is going before us. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Be strong. Be courageous. And this is how Joshua gave the command. He said, get your provisions ready. Be ready to face the challenges that are ahead, knowing that God himself will be with us every step of the way. You know, I believe this is a very timely word for us today. It's a word of encouragement to us to stand strong in these changing times that we are facing down as individuals, as a church family, as a country, and as a world. We need to keep our focus on the Lord. And therefore, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13, the Apostle Paul commands us with these words. He says, get your provisions in order and be ready to take your stand, whatever may come in these changing times. And this is what he says. And I'm just going to read this and set it up for the next few weeks that are ahead, just so that you can start to get yourself familiar with these words from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13, where he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. You know, over the next few weeks, we'll be taking a deeper look at the nature of the battle. And from this passage, I'd like you to take it home and meditate on it and read it over and understand where, you know, what is behind the unsettledness that we are all sensing, that we're all feeling in these times that we're living in. What is at the heart of it? This passage gives us some insights to that. Insights into what are we up against in these changing times. And then also begin to notice, as you read from chapter 6, verse 10 through verse 20, understand the resources that God has given to us, the provisions that he has given to us, so that we will be able to stand our ground and stand strong in the Lord, whatever comes into the future. And so today, as we wrap up our time in God's Word, I'm going to give us a little bit of time at the tables right now. And this morning, I'd like us to do it a little bit differently. As we understand the times we're in right now, understand the challenges that that are before us and some of the fears that are there. I'd like you just to simply at the table, just talk for a little bit about which of the following are the biggest challenges or fears that you have today. And I've got a few of them there: the economy, environment, health, social values, political instability, spiritual oppression. You know, it could be what, but whatever it is for you, just name it. You don't have to go into a lot of details, but just share with it. What is it that you're feeling unsettled about? What is it you're feeling fearful about today? And then what I'd like you to do is not have a big discussion about it, but I'd like you just to simply pray for one another at your table. You know, maybe one person can pray, or you can just go into a time of silent prayer, whichever is most comfortable for you. But just take a moment just to pray through the fears. You know, we've talked about the resources we have today in God. And so let's turn our hearts and our thoughts to Him. And you may want to just pray a prayer about the election tomorrow. Whatever's on your heart in prayer today around your table, we're going to take about 5 minutes to do this. So just very quickly share a fear that you might have or something that's unsettling to you, and then pray about it with each other. Okay?